afternoon, everybody. It is Thursday afternoon, and it is now time for Inside the Eye Live Prime Time.
Hey, Fetch. Hey, Fetch.
Quiet, quiet. Go ahead. She's asking a question. Don't be rude. Don't be rude.
Hey, Fetch, did that woman really say you have garnets of steel and a mind like a freaking laser?
Mary, you can't be asking questions like that. This is Inside the Eye Live Prime Time.
Why not? Aren't we broadcasting from the Middle East?
Well, yeah, but we might be seen as being politically incorrect.
You know, the problem is everybody dumps people when there's a sign of political incorrectness.
Ethan, you're always politically correct.
Heck, thanks. Does that mean we can talk about dumping the Israelis tomorrow?
Oh, I'm sure you will probably say quite a bit more than that. And now coming to you live from somewhere in the Middle East, this is Inside the Eye Live Primetime with your host, The Fetch.
All right. Thanks very much for that. And indeed, this is The Fetch, and this is Inside the Eye Live Primetime for Thursday, June the 7th, 2018, and a good Thursday afternoon, early evening to all of you listening in the United States and Canada, and a good late evening to early Friday morning to all of you listening in European and Asian time zones. And of course, wherever you're listening out there on the World Wide Web or our FM and micro FM broadcasting outlets, may all be well with you and yours. The weather here in Amman today has been absolutely, well, I don't know if it's nice. It's been actually a little bit on the warm side, really warm to hot side, with the thermometer reaching just shy of 90 degrees. I think we hit about 89 degrees today, and there wasn't much of a breeze today. And so what that meant was that we had, it kind of felt hotter than it really was, I guess you could say, but it's kind of a warm day. The house is very, very hot. Still to this day, we've had to turn off the fans. We are actually live streaming this right now on the YouTube at Inside the Eye Live. You might want to go check that out just to let me know how it goes. We're only going to do probably the first hour of Inside the Eye Live today. We just want to test market or test trial a live stream here on YouTube. We've got most of the parts working, we believe. We're not sure how this is going to work. So join us in the chat room if you could also, InsideTheEyeLive.com. That's InsideTheEyeLive.com. Click on the live chat button, and that will let me know, obviously, that everything is okay. I see Wolfgang saying hello, so yes, it is showtime. Again, guys, if you can in the chat room, I know there's just a couple of you there, if you could make your way over to YouTube, that's right, go over to YouTube. To the Inside the Eye Live YouTube channel. And I got to turn this thing down, but it looks like we are streaming live right now on YouTube, which is kind of cool. I'm probably the only guy there watching right now. Hello. I can say hi to myself. But nonetheless, it is up and running. We're going to probably give this a trial, maybe come up with a new show, half-hour type of video show, as we start to perfect some of our talents here on the video side of things. But anyways, go check it out if you can, InsideTheEyeLive.com. Click on, not InsideTheEyeLive.com, but go to also YouTube. That's right, YouTube user is Inside the Eye Live. And then go to the videos. And right now, I'm actually broadcasting live, so that's kind of cool. We finally got the right laptop in play and got most of the bugs worked out. And everything is working just fine right now, so that's a good start. Let's see. This week we had last week we had Patrick Little on. Patrick made the rounds quite a bit. If you don't know who Patrick Little was, he's the guy that was running for the Senate in the primaries, California primaries, in California, and he was trying to go up against. Really to get the GOP nomination so that he could face off against the Israeli firster Dianne Feinstein, who, of course, is Jewish in California. Somebody that's basically many of us who are nationalists, we kind of consider Dianne Feinstein to be a traitor, somebody who is really focused more on Israel first, more than America first. She's been known to make some really bizarre statements and such as supporting the MS-13 gang. If you're not familiar with the MS-13 gang because you're not from America, it is perhaps one of the most violent street gangs that's been brought up from Mexico and Latin America. And really, when you look at these gangs as they are out there, what you'll find is that good. I see a couple of people have logged on. Just kind of let me know in the chat room or something, if you guys can, how it all looks and what you guys think. I would love to get the feedback. I know we're not a big video group here. We're very good at the radio, but we're just practicing the video here. So thanks for joining me there. Again, inside the iLive YouTube, at inside the iLive, and then click on the videos and you'll see the live stream. But anyways, you look at the MS-13 gangs, and what the MS-13 gang really is, when you break it down, is that it is a outsourced contractor to the CIA, literally. I mean, it's part of MS-13 in a very indirect way is part of the deep state, because the deep state is the drug dealer of the world, essentially. And especially when you look at what's going on inside of the United States, when you look at the illicit drugs being brought in, that's benefiting the deep state, this CIA narcotics realm that also is very functional within the various police departments, especially in the larger cities. Don't fool anybody. Don't get fooled by anybody, folks. When you look at what's going on in your inner cities and you have these people working the streets, and the people working the streets are essentially most likely on witness protection plans, and they're working in order for them to basically make money for the deep state. MS-13 then is a contractor to the CIA indirectly. So when you look at politicians who are out there supporting the CIA vis-a-vis the MS-13, they are working to destroy your communities. In some cases, they will destroy your families. And that's not just through the illicit drugs that they're going to sell to your family. That is going to be through the crime, and sometimes even the deaths that are caused by these types of things. And this has been going on really for many, many, many years. You can go all the way back to my situation in 1996. And what we had in 1996, 97, 98, I was watching LAPD sell drugs all day long, watch the girls come out of the police cars, go out, work an eight-hour shift, and then take her money, get right back into a police car, and get driven away. And I'm like, what the heck is this? I remember one time in L.A., it was this bizarre. It was probably 96. It was in the deepest, dark days of the cocaine selling in L.A. And I was walking on a street called Wilshire Boulevard. And Wilshire Boulevard is a main drag that runs from downtown L.A. all the way down to the beach city, Santa Monica. And inside this area called Highland Park, near MacArthur Park. I'm not familiar with the district anymore. It's been so many years. But near MacArthur Park, there was a liquor store. And the police were basically selling the drugs from a van, a white van. And the license plate was called Rock Beach One. And, you know, you got to enjoy the humor, I guess. But that's the criminality of what's going on inside the deep state. And, of course, it's much, much more sinister than that when you get into the thousands and then millions of children who are missing every year, not just in the United States, but in Canada, the ritual slaughter of so many indigenous children, especially up in Canada. You know, we're talking about an evil that is very, very hard to comprehend, but an evil nonetheless. And that's part of the problem a lot of folks have when they come to listen to shows like this, because we don't shy away from the evil. We're not trying to dwell on it to the point to where it becomes all somber and sad and things like that. No, you know, we all have our lives to live, and we need to focus on what we need to do. But we have to, you know, as the statement goes from the old days, the only thing that evil needs to prosper or I forget the exact phrase. How's that go? The only way for evil to not prosper, but you guys know the term. Somebody probably actually knows the term. I've just got so many windows going here. I can't follow everything. Again, join us again. I just try this out, guys. Again, we want your feedback because we're thinking of launching a new show, maybe a half-hour video show. With videos, kind of like a Tucker Carlson style show. We're not sure yet. But if you like what we're doing here, again, let me know. Again, let me know. So go to Inside the Eye Live at YouTube. YouTube, my channel is Inside the Eye Live. And again, go check, just log in. Let me know. This is a single screen. I'm going to be able to do a lot more sophisticated stuff with what I have here. But for now, this is what I'm going to do just for today, because I just kind of got it all set up today, getting the last pieces debugged. And again, we're hoping that all the sound's going to come through and we do the music bumpers and things of that nature. We got to try to make sure this works properly before we go full on. So again, thanks for checking it out. To those of you who have checked in. Let's see. You know, we're talking about the evils that's going on in the world today. That's one of the issues. Of course, it's very big. You're talking about the pedophilia, the child sex trafficking, snuff films, things of that nature. These are things that I believe, I don't know for a fact, but I believe that people are starting to get a handle on in the United States, including some of the better people in our government. And perhaps, I don't know if you guys saw the story coming out of Arizona this week with the Cemex plant or yard, or I don't know what you call it, a camp, but they found a lot of paraphernalia there that looks like it was essentially a child trafficking type of abuse camp. Who knows what was going on there, but they found a lot of pretty sick stuff sitting on trees, like restraints and children's shoes and pornography with children and a whole lot of things. And this all gets tracked back to, again, the Clinton Foundation. So there's a lot of real evil going on in this planet. And these are some of the issues that obviously somebody like a Donald Trump, at his position, he seems to be aware of the problem. He's made many comments about that, and he seems to be doing something to combat that issue. Another issue, of course, we face is not just the evil part that we describe, but the politics, the general direction of the politics here in our country, in the West, etc. And you know, back in 1965 and before, America and other countries, we've been asked by our Jewish minority to participate in what we could call a great experiment. And that experiment is essentially, let's replace white people in our own country. Let's have what we call unbridled massive immigration, such that we destroy the national flavors of the various ethnostates that made not just America, but all of Europe. And I saw a story coming out of Italy, and there was this old woman, and I don't know about you, but I'm just sick of it. You've got the Italian referendum. The Italians have basically said, and for good reason, we need to return a lot of these immigrants that have been just dumped on our shores, illegally, you might add. And it's over 500,000 people have been dumped onto Italian shores. And this woman gets up and says, oh, I'm a Holocaust survivor, and you shouldn't turn your back on all of these people. And I'm thinking, you know what? This woman should just shut her trap. She should be grateful for the Italian people. If she was actually in an internment camp during World War II, it wasn't a death camp. It was an internment camp, no different than America set it up for the Japanese, to be exact, except for the Japanese didn't get swimming pools, from what I understand. This woman should shut her trap. I don't care if she's Jewish. I just don't care. She should be grateful for the Italian people for taking her in, for providing her a safe and sound place to live, to prosper probably as she's grown into becoming an old woman. And who the hell is she, quite frankly, to tell the Italian people what they should and shouldn't do for their country, how they should and should not protect their borders, how they should and should not protect their own population? I am of the frame of mind that we should take this Holocaust survivor, she likes to call herself, say, you know what, we're going to keep the borders open for you, and then dump her, literally dump her in the most dangerous, crime-infested part of where these people that she wants to support are living. And just wait, dump her. I don't care. Dump her. When she comes to me and she says, you know, oh, like this, look, you want me as a politician, if I'm in a political sphere, to sacrifice some innocent child, to sacrifice some other innocent woman because this idiot who calls herself Jewish says, oh, I was a survivor. Give us a frickin' break, lady. You know what? You ain't going to survive long if we put you back into this place that you want us to support. And quite frankly, I myself am tired of hearing Jews whining day in and day out and day in and day out about how everybody's got to open their borders except for Jewish people. You know, last week we talked a little bit about Ben Shapiro, and Ben Shapiro was talking about the recent massacre that Jews have done to many of the Palestinians that have been protesting their literal concentration camp in Gaza. And last week they killed something like 60, 62 people. And Ben Shapiro, the great American Jewish, really, the great Jewish conservative, whatever that means. Let's see here. Well, okay, let's see if it still works. We're test running this thing on the CPU, folks. It's not a dedicated type of thing, but it looks like it's okay. I'll probably have to I'll figure something out here. It tells me I'm running at a high CPU right now, but we'll see what's happening, how that works. Let's see. Okay. It was doing good for a little while anyways. Again, you can join us for the live stream there. It's now live streaming now. But Ben Shapiro is sitting there talking about how, what were Jews supposed to do when all these Gaza people were coming to the border fence? Allow them to cross the fence and consequently harm the citizens of Israel? No, they had no choice. They had to shoot. That was Ben Shapiro. That's a Jewish guy inside of America talking about a real immigration issue in real time. And what Ben Shapiro wants everybody to say is it's okay for Jews to shoot people who are trying to cross a border fence. At the same time, these very same people are saying, open your borders. You're not allowed to shoot people who come to your borders. You're supposed to allow them in with open arms. You're supposed to grant them absolute immunity to everything. You're supposed to give them the right to even vote so they can eventually take power from you. Is this a true conservative American or is this a treasonous Jewish guy? I would venture that this isn't really a patriotic American. This is a treasonous Jewish guy. What is good for the goose is not good for you goy out there. And that's kind of how Jews want this to be. Now the tide is turning even further in Europe. You've had Mistress, I believe his name is Salviani. And let's see if I can find this article real quick here. Not Poland, Italy. Yes, here it is, Italy. And what it is you've had a new government forming inside of Salvini, inside of Italy. And, of course, the European Union is saying to the Italians, you got to keep your borders open. In the meantime, Switzerland is shutting their borders with Italy. France is shutting their borders with Italy, or at least threatening to shut their borders with Italy, precisely because of this problem with the time out 1 second here, guys. I'm just still practicing here. I want to adjust something here on a power option because I want to kick something in here. I do have a touch screen. Use the darn thing. Okay, good. All right. Let's see if that helps us a little bit because we are live streaming again, everybody. We'll get this a little bit perfected while we work this through. It's a first trial here for us today. And I just had to let's see if that cuts a little bit. All right, let's see. Anyways, it read this. Italy migrants. Matteo Salvini calls for an end to Sicily refugee camps. Well, let me explain how the Australians do this. The Australians are an island nation. So in order for them to combat all of these people coming to their shores vis-a-vis the ocean, they set up various refugee processing centers on islands offshore, off the main part of the island of Australia. So that would mean that if you had a refugee boat coming with 40, 50 refugees and the Australian Navy were to catch you, you would either be returned, meaning forced to return back to your port of call. And if you return to do that, not a port of call, but your port of debarkation, disembarkation, or whatever that word is, and then what you would do is if you refuse to do that, the Italian Navy, Australian Coast Guard, see, I can get things right here, they would essentially they would essentially get you a one-way ticket to an offshore island processing center, in which case you would be processed and then returned home again. And this has been put into play inside of Australia in such a way that essentially offshore drownings trying to reach Australia. In fact, the migrant flow, the illegal migrant flow to Australia has essentially been shut off. So the Australians in this regard are doing things right. Now, when you look at other countries, of course, they have their own way of doing it, but a lot of countries do immigration right. Jews, on our behalf, are not doing immigration right. Jews, on our behalf, in other words, it's their decisions, are doing immigration in a way that is one of the dumbest, most idiotic way to handle immigration that you can imagine. Essentially, it's a business, and it's an illicit business. It's a human trafficking business. You're trafficking humans up from sub-Sahara Africa through Libya, through Tunisia, putting them onto boats. Those boats, of course, are also being funded by NGOs who then pick up these quote-unquote refugees who are only about 10, 12 miles off the shore of Libya or Tunisia and then dumping them in Sicily, Greece, Spain, and elsewhere. This is human trafficking on one of the most massive scales that we have seen in modern times. That doesn't include the forced expulsions like the Germans from Silesia and elsewhere. This is human trafficking to bring people to Italy. And what we're seeing here is the Italians, quite frankly, they cannot absorb it. Nobody could. Nobody, only Jews with their like little tiny pea of a brain out there actually think this is a good thing. It's just dumb. It's creating crime. It's creating hardship, not just for the refugees, by the way. They have hardship equally, but that's not our problem as Western civilization here. Our problem is to protect and preserve our culture and our civilization. So it also creates problems for Western civilization. So essentially, it's a business by and for Jews. They get to raise all this money. They get to send all their boats and their people out, and they get to make a lot of money off of this. But everybody else is getting hurt. Mr. Jew fleeces the public, harms everybody, and makes money. Then he blames you for being a failure because you have to deal with all the problems these little clowns made. They're traitors, folks. These are traitors to the host nations. Bottom line, you cannot call it anything other than that. They are traitors to the host nations. And they can whine all they want about this is that or this is this and that's anti-Semitic. All this crap they want to throw in your face. But look, they are foreigners by their own admission. Next year, every year, they pray. Next year in Jerusalem. Next year in Jerusalem. They won't ever go to Jerusalem because they have a policy, a standing policy. The Israelis want an X percentage of Jews in each and every Western nation, specifically so that Jews can maintain a stranglehold on the management of those countries. That's the reality of what is going on here. It is a full court press by a hyper elite, abusive, and corrosive minority against the entire Western part of this planet, essentially. Now, this guy, Mr. Salvini, again, we have to understand how Jews are framing this. They always have to put it in a way that is dishonest. That seems to be the way you're going to start a Jewish line here. So you're going to be not just a politician. You got to be called far right. So you're going to be far right. Now, whether or not far right is fair, for me, I don't think far right is a fair thing to say. I think that's an exceedingly dishonest thing to say. It's just the right. It's not the far right. The far right or the far left is basically right of center, and that is the Jewish people who are forcing everybody to essentially, I guess, come into your countries and flood your countries. But Mr. Salvini, he's basically come out and said, look, we cannot have this. He said that they need to increase deportations. Well, that's absolutely true. Trump needs to increase deportations. The British need to increase. Every single Western nation needs to increase their deportations. And of course, you've got your naysayers. The naysayers are saying, no, that can't be done. We're not going to be able to actually deport the numbers of people that Salvini is talking about, which is 500,000 people. Italy, of course, is one of the main migrant crossings from North Africa to Europe. The league, which is now running, which is, I guess, comprised of five-star movement known as M5S, and the league, which is another political party there, was sworn in just this past week. And that ended months of uncertainty for this Italian country, which is, of course, the EU's fourth biggest country. Speaking this past Sunday on the Sicilian port of Catania, Mr. Salvini said, enough of Sicily being the refugee camp of Europe. I will not stand by and do nothing while there are landings after landings. We need deportation centers. Well, yes, actually, they do need. And one of the reasons why this government was actually brought into power is because of that exact reason. People want their borders secured, plain and simple. All right, it's The Fetch, everybody. Going into a break. Back with more right after this. We're going to keep the stream going for now. So back to this message. All right, everybody. It's The Fetch inside the iLive prime time for Thursday. What is today? June the 7th. See, I have to remember that because actually we're close to June. Well, not close. We're actually June the 8th here. Local time here in Amman is 1:30. In the morning. And of course, I don't know if you guys are familiar. Most of you probably are, as I try to make my way over here and work some of these buttons here. But tomorrow is a holiday here in the Amman. And so that means Friday is basically your Saturday to those of you who are on the Gregorian, Christian style Western calendar. So basically I've got, the day off tomorrow. So generally what I did is I bookend Inside the Eye Live on the weekend. So I would come in Thursday night. I would do the show. I would have the day off on Friday in which I can recuperate when I'm in Saudi Arabia. That means I can sleep in. It's Friday anyways. Everything is closed in Saudi. It's kind of like Christian America was back in the early 70s and late 60s. Everything was closed on a Sunday. So that still happens for the most part in Saudi Arabia. But here everything is open, but I can sleep in. It's not really a busy day. So what I do is I can sleep in. But tomorrow, to those of you who are not aware, it is, of course, my birthday coming up this weekend. I'm going to have a birthday on Sunday, which is going to be a grand total. I'm getting over the speed limit, everybody. But I'm going to be 56, everybody. So happy birthday to me. So everybody is actually still up here at the house working, preparing the house. We're going to have a big party tomorrow here in Amman. And so we're going to have 20, 25 guests, I understand. I'm not sure exactly, but we're going to have about 20 to 25 guests showing up here. And so it's going to be a busy day tomorrow. So we're going to get through the show here, kind of cool off a bit. It's really hot as I'm sitting surrounded by lights here to try to make everything look good. So I'm kind of like steaming here. And I've had to turn off the fan, of course, because we can't have the fan making problems for everybody. Let's see here. Cool. I see some people in the chat room there. I can't really, it's hard. I got two chat rooms going, everybody. Again, thanks for watching. We're up to 15 people now. That's pretty good, folks. I'm not a big YouTube guy. As you know, I think I've got, after all these years, a whole 199, 200 subscribers on this channel and 400 or so on my English channel, which does the esoteric work on English. So thanks a lot, guys, for showing up. It's nice to see you. It's just a good gesture, and I appreciate it. So again, I think we're going to do just the first hour, though, here, because mainly it's a battery constriction or restriction on the camera. We're using a Nikon camera to feed this, and I think we got about an hour on the camera. Anyways, it's listener-sponsored and supported radio, and you guys can see how I look. See? Join us at Inside the Eye Live on YouTube, and go check that out, folks. You can see how The Fetch actually looks on air. And that's kind of how I do actually look here. But nonetheless, it's listener-sponsored and supported radio. It does rely upon your donations to help keep the network alive, up and running. And really, 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 we've had a little bit of a question lately on the fundraising for the station. We'd really appreciate if anybody out there can get out there and, again, continue to support the station. And really, it's important because without the foundation, we're not going to be able to do what we do here as effectively and reach as many people as we do. And we do reach a lot of people. We are probably, if not one of, we are probably the biggest show now here on the network. It's a message that we've been consistent with for, what, 6-7 years now. It's changed a little bit, of course, and adapted through the years, but we have what we believe is probably one of the best shows going right now in radio. That's right, in radio here. And again, but we need a platform to work from. So guys, if you are listening, again, we ask you to definitely get out there and support the station, because without you, it's really, really hard to keep this platform up alive and running. We are running some huge numbers on the back end. So again, we appreciate whatever you can do. Again, I see a few comments now coming in. Again, we may do this more. If you guys like the live stream, I think we've got this under control now. I think we can do this. Just let me know. I've set up the fiber. I brought fiber into Jordan. That costs money, folks. Remember, we're not begging here, but we're reminding you. But nonetheless, we brought fiber in, so I've got plenty of bandwidth to go upstream. I've got like 30 meg upstream. And to do video properly, you need about a megabyte, actually, just over a megabyte to do a live video upstream with YouTube. So I have that, and everything is fine. This show, of course, is sponsored. It actually does have commercial sponsors. And right now for Thursday night, we have the ITIL Cat Report. It is proudly sponsored. You know what? Now that I'm live streaming, if I can get Bruiser or One Eye here, I could show you guys Bruiser on air. That would be kind of cool. Excuse me one second. I'm not sure. Maybe everybody's asleep now. I just asked them if they can bring me Bruiser. But nonetheless, The Cat Report is proudly sponsored by Friends of Grism.blogspot.com, which is one of the finest podcasting aggregation sites out there on the World Wide Web. And what they do, if you like this genre of podcasting, literally we have dozens and probably, I don't know how many, not dozens and dozens, but well over a dozen to 20 shows or so are put together over there. They're edited, corrected, fixed, and put together for your listening privilege. So again, that's a full-time job. If you've never done and tried to do what we do, maybe you don't appreciate the amount of work and effort we put into these things, but folks, it's a lot of work to put these things together. So don't forget to give a shout out over to Zapopper and buy him a cup of coffee or two or three. And of course, we've got this show. Again, the website is done by a good gentleman that is really instrumental in the alternative media. He manages more than just one website out there. Doesn't manage it, but he consults on multiple websites in this business. And if you are looking to set up or start a website and you would like to have some professional assistance to get you started and really make yourself something clean and simple, give us a buzz at thefetch@insidetheilive.com, and we'll see about what we can do to look at your project and perhaps put together some type of really comprehensive plan to make your website really start to shine as far as its performance goes. This week, the Cat Report, kind of quiet. It's been hot. One Eye has been camping up on the roof. He just kind of goes up there, and if you touch him, he gets angry with you. He doesn't want to be disturbed. He basically says, leave me alone. Bruiser got his bath, and he is so clean right now. He is like got the fur, softest fur. I'll tell you what, he's got really cool fur. I like his fur, but he's been camping out with me every night. When I go to bed at night, he camps out basically with me. So he just kind of plops down on the pillow next to my head, and he just enjoys himself and purrs away, and I kind of go to sleep with his purring. It's been very quiet. I know that we've got this very strange cat called Car Car. He's the other dominant male of the neighborhood, One Eye being the other one. And Carcar's had a lot of babies over the years, and he's got one of his kittens now who's starting to get grown up, and that kitten now is starting to show up outside of the roof, outside the kitchen where I've kind of described before, if you've heard many shows, but we have the kitchen outside. And what we do is we kind of like throw chicken bones and mortadello and other types of food out there to allow the kittens to eat. You know, we're kind of kind in that regard. And we've had some babies here at the house. That's right. We've had some babies. Unfortunately, one of those has already died, but we had two birds. We've got two birds, and they had two eggs. And those hatched two or three days ago. I heard the little beep, beep, chirp, chirp, chirps. And so I went to check, and sure enough, there were two chicks in there. One of them was dead yesterday. We checked yesterday, and I'm not sure the other one's going to survive. But I'll check tomorrow morning to see if it's actually going to make it. But we had two babies. That was kind of cool. We had the two birds. I'm not a bird fan. I went to look at it today, and man, they freaked. Those two birds freaked, man. They started to attack the cage. They're like trying to get at my face. I'm like, come on, dude, you can't be doing stuff like that. That ain't a cool thing. And let's see here. I've got multiple things going here. I got to see if I can pot this up and see if this thing is going to work. This is part of the testing here, folks. So let's see if we can get this thing to work, and it is, of course, time for the Oy Vey moment.
Oy Vey! Oy Gewalt! It's like another shower!
Oy Vey!
Oy Vey!
Oy Vey, everybody!
Hollywood is run by Jews. It's owned by Jews. Very goddamn angry at some of the Jews.
I thrive on William Pierce.
Oy Vey!
Oy Vey, everybody!
The Oy Vey moment is proudly sponsored by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, author of The Synagogue of Satan, updated, expanded, and uncensored. The Synagogue of Satan, updated, expanded, and uncensored features a rapturous 144,000 words that is replete with additional articles never before seen in print. And after having its distribution banned by Amazon and Lulu, The Synagogue of Satan, updated, expanded, and uncensored is now available from Barnes Review at barnesreview.org. Order your copy today, won't you? Of course, don't forget to listen to Andy's The Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show, which streams every Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock a.m. to 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern on Eurofolk Radio at eurofolkradio.com. To listen, simply visit eurofolkradio.com during showtime and click on the Listen Live Now link, or visit andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com for Andy's free show archives, which comprises one of the most extensive guest lists in the alternative media.
And, of course, if you are watching the live stream, and we are now live streaming as we speak, and you saw me take that sip of something there. No, that's not a beer, everybody. I wish it was. But no, it's not. It's actually just a nice big glass of tea. And I think I've got another big jar up there on the roof waiting for tomorrow. But when it gets really hot, I'm a big tea drinker, and I love my iced tea. So that's what you're seeing. That's just some nice iced tea to keep me cool. Let's see. Now, the Oy Vey moment today, I think we're going to come out of Israel. And what it is there was supposed to be what's called a friendly match next week. And the friendly match is essentially two countries, two teams getting together to compete in the world of soccer, which the international people call football. And what they do is essentially they get together and they play what's called a friendly game. And what happened was the Israelis were trying to play with the Argentinian team, which would then, of course, be a guy by the name of Messi. Now, I know a lot of you Americans are not full on up to speed with international soccer or football, but this coming June the 14th, the start of the World Cup in Russia is going to be starting to take place. And so what you have is obviously a lot of excitement about that. The World Cup here in Jordan is unbelievably popular. People will have outdoor venues where you can go, you buy a ticket, you watch it on the big screen. Restaurants will be opening up just to watch the games. There'll be specials. It's a huge, huge deal here in the Middle East and in Europe also, and pretty much the rest of the world. Not so much America, although it's gotten some more traction. It's not like here for sure, at least from my experience back when I was still in America. So what happens is, they had this friendly going on, and the Jews in, of course, in Israel, they're Jews, right? They wanted to have this little friendly game. And obviously the Israelis right now are, and by extension, the larger Jewish community, of course, but for sure the Israelis, they are perhaps one of the most parasitical pariahs on the planet today, outside of perhaps America. It has gotten so bad that they're toxic. It's like being around an Israeli is like having acid thrown in your face. You just can't recover from it. It's a very sinister people. They are completely out of control right now. They've emotionally and intellectually lost it. And what they did is they tried to move this soccer game to Jerusalem. And yeah, like that's really going to go over well. See, the Jewish people, they just don't get it. Nobody supports their move of the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem. No, I don't support it. They put it in neutral territory right now, meaning the United States did, but we don't necessarily support the move. Well, obviously putting a soccer game 1 week, 5 days before the World Cup starts is not something that people of conscience would ever want to do. So essentially, Netanyahu told authorities in Argentina that he had personally instructed authorities to hold the match in our eternal capital. And now that the match was canceled, because it was really a big deal for Jews. See, we're not such pariahs after all. And so now that it's been canceled, Netanyahu's backtracking to say, no, it all had nothing to do with me. So then people said, all right, who has it? So you got a lot of fallout going on. Again, it was Argentina was canceling the event. The players weren't going to go for sure. It was originally set to be held in what was known as the Sammy Ofer Stadium in the coastal city of Haifa, but was moved last month to the capital's Teddy Kollek Stadium after intense political pressure, they said. Now, the head of the Palestinian Soccer Federation, Mr. Jabil Rajoub, said that Israel's insistence on holding the match in Jerusalem turned it into a political tool and urged Arab and Muslim sports fans to burn photos and T-shirts of star player Lionel Messi if the game went ahead. Now, Lionel Messi is like the superstar of global soccer. He is the number one player. He's actually quite a phenomenal athlete. I enjoy watching him. He's a short little dude, 5'7" or so. And you know, us Americans, you know, from the basketball and the football days, you just want to take this Messi guy. You want to thump him into the ground because he's such a frustrating player to watch. And he's just that good, really. You're not going to thump him because you don't like him. You thump him because he's frustrating the heck out of you. He really is that good of a player. And so basically this has all been canceled. And then the Israelis are coming out now this week like, oh, the BDS movement must really be hurting. And the BDS boycott, divest, and sanction. Oh, it must really be hurting if they have to cancel a game for political reasons. And that's seen as a victory. And I'm like, the Jewish people here are some of the dumbest, really, they're some of the dumbest people when it comes to logic and then projecting that logic outward. First of all, these idiots inside of Israel, they wanted to make a political statement. So what they're going to do is they're going to try to have all of these superstar players going to Jerusalem, playing a friendly match and giving Israel all of this political clout. And then when everybody sees what's going on, they cancel this game. Then Jews complain that it's the other people who are making it political. It's like, you Jews just, I swear, it's like, it is so maddeningly infuriating to watch this complete moronic mindset. And then they behave as if somehow they're superior to everybody else. They're idiots. I swear. I look at their arguments. I follow their logic. I follow their reasoning. And they're idiots. And the fact that they're idiots seems to not get to the majority of people or something, because all you hear are the term Nazi and anti-Semite. And I'm like, they're idiots. But you do not see that. See, you're a Nazi. You can't see that they're idiots. You play to their hands as if somehow they're logical. No, they just have some confidence and arrogance in what they say. But I mean, when you listen to what these guys are saying, folks, these Jewish logical reasoning explanations, I don't know, they're just dumb. Come on, get over it already. These people are stupid. There's nothing I can grasp from these people. I swear. Jewish people, they get it, folks. They know they're your enemy. They get it. They know they're playing you to be a fool. You don't get that as being part of the audience that listens to Jewish political power. But they don't like you. They're all about, if you follow their logic, is it good for Jews? Okay, is it good for Jews to play in Jerusalem? Absolutely. Was it good for everybody else? No, absolutely not. So therefore, they don't play. And then all you hear from the Jewish community is that this is a perfect example of hate and hatred. And the people of the BDS crowd are filled with this primordial hate. And I just say, you know what? To the Jewish people out there, look, we get that you don't care about your host countries. We understand that. We get that you don't care about the countries you live in. We get that Israel, your country, right or wrong, and every other country be damned. Most of us view that as treason, by the way. And we see most of you Jews as being traitors. And that's okay. That's our right. And it's your right to assume otherwise. But it's not your right to start to try to jail everybody in our own countries because you disagree with us. That's the problem. And now what they're trying to do is, everywhere you look, and we're going to cover this more in the second hour, everywhere you look, there's a full-on court press for Jews to tell us what we can and can't say through this thing called anti-Semitism. Now, listen to this. This is Mr. Regev. I'm not sure which minister he is, culture or something like that. But he said the game was canceled for one reason only, threats to the life of star Lionel Messi. Regev said at a press conference at the Culture and Sports Ministry in Tel Aviv. The terror threats against him and his family overwhelmed the world soccer star, she said, adding that this information came from the producers of the event. Well, first of all, we don't believe you. Seriously, any idiot that goes and buys a Jew statement like that is dumb. This is purely a political positioning going on relative to the World Cup right now. Regev said that the suggestion that moving the game to Jerusalem had brought about its cancellation was despicable and a lie. Well, first of all, why would it be despicable? What an insanely stupid word to even try to use on us. To use the word despicable is despicable. But again, my attitude towards Jewish people is that they're despicable, so they'll do this to us all the time. They don't have they're tone deaf to reality, basically. They don't understand that, look, we're not interested in your BS anymore. We're just not interested. It says here, I didn't request or ask that the game be moved to Jerusalem. I don't know the efforts that were made, Miri Regev asked, but didn't demand for the game to be moved to Jerusalem. See, so now everybody knows it's a problem. They tried to get a coup in Israel. They tried to politicize it. They lost. They've got their asses handed to them, folks, in the political world. And what happens to Jews now? It's wine, 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 wine. Baby crying everywhere. Oh my God, it's such a terrible thing. And if you look all over the internet's there. You're going to see basically what I mean. So that kind of is the Oy Vey moment for today, again, June the 7th. See, I got to be careful because when I look down, it says June the 8th. But again, we are a day ahead of you because we've already turned the calendar here in the Middle East. All right. It's the Fetch, everybody, inside the iLive prime time for Thursday. That's right, Thursday afternoon in America, that is. Good Thursday afternoon to early evening to everybody listening, again, out there in the United States and Canada, and to those of us who are here in the European and Middle East or West Asian time zones, again, it's a late, late evening to a good early Friday morning to you. Statement coming out of Belgium. And again, this is a key thing here, and it's going to be growing more and more, and we need to keep pushing this and get our people into power because politics is personnel. And inside of Belgium right now, 77% of those in Belgium no longer feel at home in Belgium. Now, I would ask the Jewish community, was it your right to create such chaos that the entire nation of Belgium doesn't feel at home anymore? Is that your right? That somehow the Belgium people, as a people, really can no longer feel at home? And if the Belgian people no longer feel at home, and many towns inside of Germany no longer feel at home, and many towns in Italy, in the UK, in America no longer feel at home. All of these towns and counties and nations that no longer feel at home, they need to be holding those responsible for why they don't feel at home. And that falls directly on the heads of their Jewish populations, especially their Jewish political organs. When you hear Jews come to us and they say, you know, you cannot deny us Jews our right to self-determination. Well, how does a Jew's right to self-determination somehow trump your right to self-determination? We got more on this. It's the Fetch, everybody, inside the unlucky prime time. Again, from 7,018 back. Right up. All right, everybody, welcome back. It's the Fetch inside the Eye Live, and actually, it's not inside the Eye Live. It's inside the Eye Live Prime Time. Now, what we've done is we have changed the battery, changed some settings on our camera, and that caused a reboot on the live stream. It's supposed to be going here. I just don't see that the camera has actually come back on yet. So let's see. Cameras should be there. We were trying to get the camera and everything else to work here. That's not a great thing. But I plan to do the first hour anyway, so maybe it's going to start working. Maybe it's not. I mean, it's live stream. You just can't see me, right, guys? That's pretty good. So that's there. Now if I put the camera back on, you would think that thing would work, but it's not working all that well, is it? And I'm not sure why that is at the moment, but it's not working. So, guys, hang tight there. I'm not going to waste too much time in this because we do have a radio show to do. And unfortunately, but we had to make one setting adjustment. I think that's going to take care of some CPU issues. And then next week, we'll be doing this again for sure. We're going to be doing live streaming again next week to see if we can get this thing going. So, folks, sources, everything looks fine. Hang tight, everybody. Again, I want to try to get this up. I changed the battery. That thing is working fine. And let's see here. That should just pop it. But it's not popping it. So for whatever reason, the camera stopped working there. So anyways, we have multiple cameras actually set up on this darn thing. And so I should actually just put another camera on if I want. So, guys, you can kind of watch it, I guess. I'm just not going to be there, but you can kind of watch what's going on there while you listen to the show on YouTube. How's that? So that's not a great thing, but, hey, we're going to just have to keep moving along, and I'll try to debug this thing why it's not just popping after the show here. Because, yeah, that should just pop, man. It should just, like, turn on. But it's not doing that. All right. Next. Okay, guys, thanks for watching the thing. Again, we're going to keep the stream going. Again, it is still going. It's just that it's I cannot get the video to work. I'll figure out why that happened. All right. Here's something we want to talk about again, because it's a key thing, key issue, political issue moving forward. And that is this idea. One of the main issues we have in the West right now is what we call, actually what Kevin McDonald calls, is this hostile elite, an elite that just doesn't listen to you, that doesn't care what you vote for, doesn't care what you do, doesn't care anything about you, quite frankly. All they care about is their own selfish interests. And for the most part, not all of them, of course, you've got basically two classes of people here. You have your Jewish overlords. And again, money is politics, everybody. Money is politics. So if you have half of your billionaires in a country are Jewish people, that should be more than enough information to tell you that essentially the problem here is those billionaires. One of those billionaires is a George Soros. And a George Soros basically likes to essentially destroy the West. I'm going to just throw this camera on just for the fun of it. Folks, that's actually another style of camera there. That's the green screen behind there. We're just playing right now, everybody. And so I'm not sure I even like that, though. But that's the other camera. We got that working today with some technical assistance today. But, folks, what we have going on here is a billionaire class that is seeking to destroy Western civilization. And they're doing that by essentially outsourcing as much of the opportunity that they can and sending that opportunity essentially over to China. Now, that's one of the main destinations. I know for a fact, based on interviews with my ex-mother-in-law, who was the chairman of the Reserve Board, the great-granddaughter for the chairman of the Reserve Board for Chiang Kai-shek. And what she told me was that the U.S. Federal Reserve was printing the money, meaning U.S. Federal Reserve notes in China, going all the way back to 1936, literally 1936. So the relationship between Jewish people and certain elites within the Chinese infrastructure is very storied. When Mao Zedong was killing off some 60, 70, 100 million Chinese, his advisor was a Jew. His philosopher was a Jew. The person behind the deaths of those 100 million people were Jewish. Of course, you had Mao Zedong and his people executing the plan, but the advisors were all Jewish. So what you have is a case now where this hostile elite continues to work overtime to find ways to stop you from being able to have a political voice. And the way they're doing that was first the Holocaust, but second is through the use of the term anti-Semitism. And this crackdown on dissent is all being done through various proponents of this Israeli-centric definition that has been handed to us by Jewish NGOs. Now, why we in the West should give one rat's you-know-what about what Jews believe is absurd on the top of it. We should not be tolerating Jews in any way or form bringing their definitions to the table so that they can impose themselves on us. They are a hyper minority. They are an overrepresented minority. They preach to us day in and day out and day in and day out about diversity. Yet there is no diversity anywhere where they wield power. It is time, quite frankly, for us to have a very honest, candid discussion of Jewish machinations that seek to undermine our countries. It is not something that should be uncomfortable. It is something that should be pragmatic and practical. Here, look at your political scenes everywhere that you look. The first and foremost story in every single newspaper out there at the national levels are charges of anti-Semitism. It is such a grossly misused word, but it's also part of a tactical strategy by Jewish people with the express purpose of imprisoning Western civilization. And it's not a joke, everybody. You may think it's not that important. But it's all this slow slide, stepping, slippery slope, I guess you call it, to tyranny. In the Soviet Russia, which was nothing but a Jewish monstrosity, it was the death penalty for a Jew to declare you an anti-Semite. It was the death penalty, folks. They killed you simply because some Jew said you were an anti-Semite. Never mind that you may have even had valid reasons to hate that particular Jew. And Jews have had no problem making enemies throughout their history. But the fact that you're not even allowed to react to them, that's the grand strategy here. It's a most sinister and cynical strategy. And it is something that we of the West have got to start to deal with on a very loud, rational, pushback, but pragmatic manner. It is a word at the end of the day. It doesn't mean anything, but everyone wants to attach a meaning to it. Jews know for a fact that it doesn't mean anything. They keep lobbing it everywhere, everywhere you look. I've had it lobbed at me since 1999, 2001. I've had entire audiences that I have built over time destroyed because some loser wearing a yarmulke made a declaration and my peers, my people that surrounded me, didn't have the backbone to stand up to this bully and just shove him and push him back down to where he came from, which is some slimy hole under a rock. Folks, the only way people get away with what they can get away with when it comes to this type of bullying is when you as a people refuse to stand up, don't make a stand, and leave a person who is voicing things that you know is right, you leave them out to hang and dry. The U.S. Congress is now trying to endorse some type of quacked out definition of just what is, quote unquote, an anti-Semite. You've got governments in the United Kingdom and Austria. They have officially adopted this Israeli-centric definition. The U.S. State Department and European governments to local governments around the United States and universities are starting to impose these definitions. It is snowballing, and it's snowballing rapidly at this time. The definition being used again is nothing but this charged BS thing brought to us by Israeli-centric individuals. The charges are idiotic on the front, but worse, the charges are treasonous to those of us in the West. It is imposing upon all of us a duty and an obligation to worship. In other words, don't criticize Jews, and especially don't criticize the murderous, sadistic, disgustingly pathetic culture that is the Jewish country called Israel. What it's being used for left and right, folks, we have to make an understanding here, is what's happening inside Palestine is atrocious, beyond belief, but it's atrocious. You're looking at essentially a bunch of snipers, all of them celebrating and worshiping Passover, all of them celebrating and worshiping Yom Kippur. Most of them probably support the deaths of 3,000 Americans on 9/11. Most of them probably would call you a criminal for daring to talk about the USS Liberty and the attack by the Jewish state on the USS Liberty in 1967. Folks, these are not your friends. They want to keep you from criticizing anything about them. And one of the most obvious ones out there is this thing called the Palestinians, who just happen to be getting replaced. Israel long has claimed that its 1948 creation was on a land without a people for a people without a land. Well, that is so far from the truth, it's absurd. It is a classic, typical Jewish lie. It is a form of gaslighting that you should be incensed with. You should be infuriated that they continue to insult your intelligence on this level. You should view them as nothing but children that do not deserve to have your attention. And you should make sure that you make that voice known every step along the political process. At the time that Israel was created, 80% of that land was Muslim, 15% Christian, and a little under 5% were actually Jewish at the time. And isn't it funny that the main terrorists at that time were largely Jewish people? Now, over the decades, since its founding, you have had these charges of accusations throughout time brought against politicians, etc. However, for most of that time, the meaning of the term itself was not in question. The standard definition was, in Google's terms, which is Jewish, hostility to or prejudice against Jews. Well, again, hostility or prejudice to somebody does not mean that is anti-Semitism. It means you are anti-Jewish people in general for their behavior. You have every right to be incensed and disgusted by these people. And if they want to call you prejudiced towards them, you cannot be prejudiced against somebody who is essentially filth. You cannot be prejudiced to somebody who is a sadist. You should deal with them without prejudice, which is a whole different meaning, folks. You got to be very clear on how you deal with these people here. The definition that they've been using now is something like you've got the chair of the Jewish Agency for Israel, Sharansky, founded a global forum. That's right, back in 2003. These things have been going on for time immemorial. You just don't realize it. You don't get it. But it's basically a nonstop parade of organization after organization after organization, specifically done, literally specifically done with your money, your tax money that was deferred from their taxes, because these are nonprofit organizations. They are NGOs. So essentially, folks, the European Agency, if you go back to the European Agency, it was founded and run by this guy with very important connections to Israel. It was called the European Monitoring Center on Racism and Xenophobia. Well, again, isn't it funny that all of these various centers for racism and xenophobia only target everybody but Jews? Have you ever noticed that? Mr. Jew is always blameless, but they're always out there trying to tell you that you're xenophobic, you're racist, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. This constant gaslighting, and most of us, we're really not. We don't care that much. We just don't like to see the disgusting filth that is generally inherent in Jewish culture. We don't like the way that they will sell our countries out for Israel. We don't like the fact that we are told we can't even speak if we dare to talk against Israel. I can't tell you how many times Jews have whined and whined on public forums where I've been present because somebody didn't like something Israel did. Well, you know what? In our Western countries, we should be hammering every single Jew that behaves in an adversarial manner and en masse smash them back into the ground. Let it be known that the days of their being able to bully people, because that's what this is, folks. It's just bullying. Look, if you're an American, what do you really have to care about Israel? Why would you put a foreign nation ahead of your own? Why would you put the interest of a foreign people, like the Jewish people, ahead of your own? Why would you be so willing to send your children and your kids and your sons and your uncles and your fathers to war in the Middle East for a foreign people? Why are you doing that? Think about it. What is the purpose in here? And of course, the whole point of politicizing this idea of anti-Semitism is to create a tyrannical cloud under which you start to self-monitor yourself. You self-censor yourself. And once you start doing that, guess what? The agenda keeps rolling, folks. It ain't going to stop. Just because you behave like a good boy or good girl doesn't mean it's going to stop everybody. It's just going to go to the next level. This is tyranny. It doesn't know how to stop. It is an evil upon which you just, again, you can't fathom. This is The Fetch, everybody, by the way. And if you'd like to give us a call, the phone lines are open, 1-323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. We'd like to give that a call equally to see if we can get this thing to work properly. And again, I don't know why my camera is not pulling up, but it's just refusing to pull up right now. So we'll have to see why that's not happening later. All right. Now, in the United States, you have something known as 3D. That's what the Jewish people call it. This is the actual scientific term they're using here, and they call it 3D. And it's known as an anti-Semitism test. That's right, an anti-Semitism test. And remember, an anti-Semitism test, all it's really saying is a test that is designed to measure, I guess, I don't know, I should read it further, but remember, it has nothing to do with hating or prejudicing anybody on their side. They use that to guilt you. But that's not the plan here. The object is to keep you from being politically active and from speaking up. Now, the U.S. Congress passed a law, that's right, establishing exceptional government monitoring of anti-Semitism. Again, how many people out there are such idiots and failures that they need the government to watch out for them, to watch their back, to make sure everything is okay for them? Do you need the government as a person right now, all you listening right now, do you guys need the government to create laws to protect you? Do you need it? No, because you're not doing things that create conditions upon which people are going to want to actually go after you. We have to ask ourselves, why do the Jewish people always need these laws to protect themselves if they're doing everything okay? If everything is up and above board, why do you need laws to protect yourself? If everything you're doing is for the better goodwill of the nation and the people at large, why do you need laws to protect yourself? See, you don't need any laws if you're doing the right thing. The problem here is they're not doing the right thing. They're milking the country. They're destroying the country. They're creating political conditions on the ground that are going to make you even lose your country. And how is that right? And how is that fair to you? Now, this law is called the Global Anti-Semitism Review Act. I don't even know all this stuff is going on until we start to get the research coming in. Now, the Global Anti-Semitism Review Act included a line that subverted its meaning by enshrining a new definition of anti-Semitism, and it was aligned with Sharansky's anti-Semitism has at times taken the form of vilification of Zionism, the Jewish national movement, and incitement against Israel. Well, again, why are you Jews? Why are Jews trying to put this into law? Why are our Jewish people creating legal terms and legal definitions that essentially puts another foreign nation in a predominant role? As a grown-up adult, you should be incensed. How dare these idiots do that to you? What type of moron goes out and puts Israel in front of their own countries? Well, obviously the morons are traitors. That's who. Now, don't worry, they've got that covered, because that's part of an anti-Semitism thing too, by calling people disloyal to their nation, even though it's as plain as day. So essentially, all we have happening here is that if you are against Jewish nationalism, you're an anti-Semite. Well, what type of moron even came up with that term? You know, the more I look at how this is happening, it's completely, folks, moronic. These guys are a bunch of idiots. They got too much money, too much time on their hands, and they just want to play with words all day until they create something that, oh, that sounds good. Let's use that to tyrannize intellectually the people over which we're lording. And it ain't even our country. Israel's our country. See how this is starting to work, everybody? State Department officials, they are very, very keen on supporting Israel. But anyways, in 2004, there was a congressional hearing, and it was conducted about how to combat. Why do you need to combat anti-Semitism? It's our country. We have a right as non-Jews to seek our own interests. And if that doesn't include Jewish people, that's our right. See, they don't want you to have that right, but you have that right. Folks, you have that right. If you don't have that right, then you have no rights whatsoever, because you're basically subrogating your rights to a foreign power. Yeah, to me, we had Patrick Little on last week, and he sounds like he's fresh and he's green behind the ears a bit, and he's talking a big game about how he's going to do. Dude, they're going to assassinate. If he's actually that strong, they would assassinate him before he could even hard. He's not that strong yet. And it's very simplistic. Now, maybe that's a great political message. I don't have a problem with that. But folks, it's very sinister. It's very in-depth. It's much more complicated. A State Department press release came out back in 2004, believe it or not, opposing the new office, described the many actions the state was already taking against anti-Semitism. See, our State Department, I don't know if you know, but our State Department is basically filled with two types of individuals, by and large, and it needs to be gutted. Pro-Israel traitors and LGBT activists that want to bring the LGBTQ, P, whatever, environment to other nations out there. And if you don't allow the LGBTQP movement into your borders, then the U.S. State Department, through its agents, which are LGBTQP activists, want to then sanction those countries. That's kind of what's really happening out there. Not sure if you knew that. Let's see. AIPAC, of course, is always out there. You've got, let me see if I can find a better timeline here in trying to read this article. See, now, they've got a new definition out there, and they want to apply it to U.S. citizens. I'll get a little bit more, because this is a recent deal. It's the Fed.
All right, everybody, welcome back inside the Eye Live prime time again for Thursday. What do you call this? Thursday, June the 7th, 2018. I don't know if you guys saw, you know, the occult symbols. A lot of people do a lot of good work on occult symbols out there, and my goodness, I used to do mine. I don't do so much active stuff anymore. Again, guys, we apologize for the video. It's just not popping. Not sure why that is. The camera's just not popping for some reason. So we'll try to figure out why that happened next time. But again, we are live streaming. We're going to probably be doing every Thursday is going to be a live stream show. And we might be launching a new show that does just video. We're trying to debate that for now. But let us know. Give us your feedback. The Fetch at InsideTheEyeLive.com would be great. We would appreciate that if you can give us some feedback on that. So definitely. Everything seems fine. Otherwise, stream's good. Stream's strong. Everything looks good for the most part. So we'll try to fix that over the week, over tomorrow, actually. Tomorrow's a birthday party, everybody, here in Amman. I'm going to be taking the day off. After this show here, I'm going to basically go in, wipe the sweat off because it's very hot underneath all these lights. And I'm going to go kind of like shower, get myself kind of fresh a little bit, hop into bed. I'll be up by 10:30 or so, 11 o'clock, and I'll be having a nice birthday party tomorrow. I'll have, I don't know how many guests. I'm not arranging all that, but we'll have to get a lot of guests. We just bought like 5 kilos of ice cream. Oh, for those of you who aren't familiar with Inside the Eye Live, we are big bacon fans, and I went out yesterday and I asked my Jewish friend here, and I said, "Hey, dude, you got any bacon, man?" And he said, "Dennis, I can't, hey, man, I can't give you any bacon." And I said, "What do you mean you can't give me bacon? I want my bacon kosherized, dude." And he just looked at me like I was crazy. I said, "No, man, I want my bacon kosherized. Here, I got it right here, man. And he just looked at me like I was crazy. No, I'm just kidding about that. But I have never seen any kosherized bacon, but I'll tell you what, I've seen kosherized everything else, something to that effect. But, yeah, it's been a bacon and egg week all week. I've had just bacon, man, bacon strips every day, man. Literally 2 to 4 pieces of bacon. Today I only got one. They only made like 4 pieces, and I shared them all. But, yeah, it's been a bacon week, everybody. I've been loving the bacon. And so bacon and fried rice, bacon and eggs, bacon and toast, bacon and jam, you name it, but it's bacon all week long, everybody. So eat your heart out to those of you who love bacon and you didn't get any this week. I've had a great time with the bacon. All right, let's see here. What else we want to talk about? This anti-Semitism. Let's see. All right, everybody. The chat room's still humming along inside the live.com. Click on the live chat button. It's humming along. Telephone lines, you'd like to call in, 1-323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. It was going back to the occult symbols real quick of D-Day. Of course, D-Day yesterday was celebration of D-Day. And it's funny how they do that. It was on the sixth day of the sixth month at the sixth hour. They're old 666. And you know what's really sad about World War II, and people just don't grasp the history of World War II, is France, under the occupation of the Germans, was actually impeccably administered. It was so well done that many French women fell in love with German soldiers. They were actually quite generous for the most part, the way it was run. And when the Americans came in, they killed hundreds of thousands of French citizens, turned most French women into basically destitute prostitutes. It was one of the most, in ours, they said, you know, we had to bomb France to save it. No, basically, our American military doesn't have any professional capability. The Germans possessed professional capability. America's military does not possess professional capability. All it knows how to do is just destroy things. That's not professional capability by any stretch of the imagination. That's just being an idiot and using what firepower you can. Hey, I'm the big bully. Let me go walking down the street beating up everybody I come in contact with, whether they got anything to do with what's going on or not. That's the American military right now. These guys are not professionals in the classic sense of military valor. They're a bunch of idiots. That's the reality. You know, I've been watching sports lately in America, Torrenty, with the new stream here, with the new fiber. I'm able to get some torrents from American sports, and I watch baseball. I've been watching the Stanley Cup hockeys, which I love. As you guys know, I'm a big Stanley Cup guy. I love the game of hockey. But every day, support your troops, support your troops. Oh, we salute you. Oh, we salute you. I never lived with that growing up. How sad is it that sports has gotten so politicized that they have to talk about, oh, we salute you. You watch a NASCAR event. Oh, we salute you. Oh, we salute you. Oh, we salute you. It's like, give us a frickin' break, guys. They're employees, okay? You pay your taxes. They go out and they do their job. If they can't be, they're employees. We salute you. You don't need to salute them if you're using them properly. You don't need to try to assuage their feelings because you're going out to kill them for all the wrong reasons. Military should be used for your national interest, not for the interest of Jews and their frickin' wild-eyed de-cleansing or cleansing, ethnic cleansing of Syria type of mentalities, or wherever else Jews feel they got to go murder a few million people. That ain't professional, and it's hard to salute them for that. What are they doing in Syria? What are you saluting them for? They should be getting the hell out. They should be saying, how do we get our butts out of Syria? How do we not help all of this criminal element that they're helping us, forcing us to take orders and do? I don't want to hear about salute, salute, salute. I don't mean to be cruel to these people, but guys, it just doesn't make any sense. Really, it doesn't make sense to constantly salute, 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 when in reality, they're being used for reasons that have nothing to do with you and your nation's security. It's just dumb. You know, going back to this anti-Semitism, because they want to apply, Jews want, remember, Jews are a hostile minority. They are not people who have your and the American interest at heart. And in 2016, the U.S. Senate passed a law to apply to the State Department's definition of what was anti-Semitism. And this was the Sharansky, Stern, Rosenthal definition. And then they wanted it to apply to the Education Department. And then they want to use that for investigating reports of religious motivated campus crimes. So basically, here's what's happening in American campuses right now. You have a treasonous fifth column element known as Jewish students. They are working overtime to create as much tension and hostility on campus by causing or asking or imposing or whatever a student population to look the other way to Jewish crimes. And if you dare to talk about the crimes of the state of Israel and its supporters, they want to charge you with a crime. How is that part of a Western civilized conduct? This isn't Western civilization at all. We are staring at a sadistical, Judaic, Talmudic mentality. It's a cancer. It's a parasite. You know, Putin had once said, the body cannot be healthy if the parasite is allowed to feed. It's not his exact words, but he basically said that. The body cannot, meaning the nation, cannot be healthy if the parasite is allowed to feed. The parasite in America is so vast that its ability to feed even stretches down into the student and the college campuses. It stretches down even into the elementary schools. It stretches down into the police departments. It stretches down into even fire departments. It stretches all the way down to aid after a disaster. Imagine cities now in America demanding that you agree not to boycott Israel in order to get money to help rebuild your home. Israel comes before you. Israel comes before your fellow Americans. And how can we not look at these people who are putting these laws in place and seeing them as literally enemies of the state? It is that serious, because they intend to take your liberty away. It's not just your guns, folks. It's your political ability to move, or it's your ability, I should rephrase that, it's your ability to move politically. That's literally what is happening here. In California, in December, you had a Brad Sherman. He called on the California Secretary of Education to expand its definition to include certain forms of anti-Israel behavior. And I hear that coming in. Vera, let's see if that will work. Hi, Vera. There you are. Hi, Vera. Welcome to Inside the Eye Live on the new live stream, which doesn't have a camera right now for video, but
I wouldn't want myself on there anyways. But it'd be nice to see you. You know, if once you put it into a video and put it on, you're not going to do YouTube.
Streaming. It's streaming on YouTube, and then of course it gets automatically saved to YouTube, and I'll have to go back and edit it to clean things up a little bit. But it's on YouTube, and I'll clean out some of the non.
Happy
birthday! Thank you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
Happy birthday, dear Fetch.
Yeah, thank you. No, I'm looking forward to it tomorrow. You know, I've got the house stocked with alcohol, 5 kilos of ice cream. I ordered a big chocolate fudge cake. I told them, they asked me, what type of cake you want this year? And I said, you know what? I just want to get decadent this year. I said, give me chocolate fudge, man. Just give me And so they were looking for cakes, and they found a few designs they liked. They're going to put my face on it. So I sent them a picture of my face, and so they're going to have a custom-designed cake with my fake face on it, and it's going to be kind of cool. And I intend
take some pictures
tomorrow. Yeah, we could actually live stream this thing tomorrow. We could live stream Dennis's birthday party from Amman, Jordan.
Well, at least the cake.
Yeah, we're going to be having
you
karaoke.
You don't have to show everything going on.
Yeah, we'll have the karaoke machine. I just bought a new amplifier, mixer amplifier, because my old one died. Basically, it's just one of the capacitors inside fried. So I bought a really nice amplifier. So I'm set, man. I am.
Oh, right on.
Thank goodness, knock on wood. I've had a great few years now, and I've rebuilt everything. So now
we're
back a little bit as much as we can, you know. Keep things going in a good direction.
Yeah. You know what I wanted to say?
Yeah.
I taped the most recent, I guess yesterday or the day before, of Washington against Vegas. Now, they're the only ones, right? That's the last.
You know what?
Right?
Yeah, this is the Stanley Cup. And I'll tell you what, Washington looks good.
Wait a second now, though. This is all they – have you watched the last game?
I did.
Like, okay. Well, it said that – like, I watched on TV because I wanted to tape it in advance and I can fast forward, whatever, right? And it said the other day that it showed the last game, like this game that's on today for us, which is now if Washington wins, that's four they get, and it's finished, right? They win the cup. But it also showed the next day, now I haven't noticed it again, but it showed the next day a review of the Stanley Cup Finals. And I thought, so what? They're telling us now for sure Washington's already going to win? You know, it just seemed very, very iffy. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I'll be honest, though, being a hockey fan, the Washington's a better team.
I'm sure they are.
They are.
The other team, how long have they been around?
This is their first year.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, and which is an amazing story, but they play a really helter-skelter style of hockey, and you can see
yes,
it.
Yes, they did.
And when you get into this helter-skelter mode, if you can overwhelm your opponent, then you're going to be okay. But if not, and they're able to weather that storm, and then the system starts to take over, you can just slowly just wear people down. And that seems to be what's happening here. So
Washington is the Washington Capitals. That is like Washington, D.C., right?
That's correct.
Okay, yeah, not Washington State.
No.
Okay. No. Yeah, well, you know.
So they're playing tonight, by the way. So by tomorrow, I'll pick it up and I'll watch it privately, which is what I normally do. Just go outside, take some argila and a nice bourbon and seven and enjoy the game. And just kind of chill out.
I won't tell you anything about it then. No, I haven't seen it yet.
If it's still going, it's probably just starting. It's only 6 o'clock and it's going to be in Las Vegas. So probably starts maybe 6 o'clock.
But if it's played in their home, they have home ice advantage. But if they're a new team, like you said, then, you know, just I think a lot of these games are fixed fetch. I think they make decisions in advance.
I'm not sure that players are part of that, though. I don't think it goes down to the player level. And hockey looks like it's a much more difficult game to fix than, let's say, basketball. And baseball you can fix pretty – it's hard to fix baseball, but if you start to take the corners away from a pitcher and force him to come in, then you're basically allowing the hitters to have free rein. And I've seen some baseball games where the umpire was just so atrocious. He's calling like balls. He's calling strikes balls. And I'm like, dude, you've got that new little square box when you watch the games and that's right on the corner. And he kept calling them ball, 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 ball. And the next thing you know, pitchers are coming in a little bit more and hitters are teeing off. So I can see how you can fix it in baseball a little bit by taking the strikes away. Basketball.
See, with hockey, they can fix it with the referees. So, you know, the referees can give penalties when they feel.
Well, they can, but when you look at these games, they're well officiated. I mean, yes, you can. I agree with that. But, you know, you look at the penalties they call, you say, yeah, that looks okay. And then when you look at what they miss, they don't miss all that much. And when they do call it, yeah, it looks okay to me. It's like, yeah, I can't argue with that call.
Okay.
You know, I think hockey's, I'm not saying it's not fixed, but I do know people within the NBA, and they say it is absolutely fixed. The NBA, they tell me, is absolutely fixed.
Yeah, so there
done,
you go.
Again, it's done through
it's
the referee.
It's basically Jewish-owned, you know.
It is
100%. And it used to be Canada's game, and nobody from Canada, did any of them even get into the playoffs? Like, you know, because I really haven't been paying attention that much. You know, but any Canadian teams get into the playoffs that you know of?
Are there even any Canadian teams?
Ha-ha. Montreal used to be a most excellent team. Most excellent.
Montreal.
And the Jets were good.
Oh,
but
then,
you know.
Hockey, yeah, hockey.
I'm talking hockey.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
What's amazing, I mean, you know, as I watched when I got, like, seriously involved, you know, and was cheering, like, well, not there at the game, but at home, right? Because I got a guy in the house that, you know, just he's crazy about hockey, right? And the BC team. Anyways, a lot of times it just seemed very strange. Why are they selling their best players? They're trading them out to somebody else.
That's correct. Yeah, that's a whole different issue.
That's like, well, what? So then all of a sudden, of course, they got new guys, but they're not like star players, and they're not really intermeshed with the other guys, okay? Like, so that they know each other's moves and all of that. You know what I'm saying? Like, some of them I just watched, I thought, why would you get rid of him? Why would, you know, unless he just refused to play, maybe he didn't want to be in that team and wanted to go to the U.S. or whatever. But it seemed like all the good players, they boogied on down to the States. And they sure pay him well. That's all I can say.
You know? What's happening with politics up there? Are you guys trying to start a trade war with America now? I heard the
Canadians are
trying to start a trade war.
The latest, you know what, I just got to tell you, the latest I saw on the ticker, they didn't announce it on the news, but of course there's this trade war. All of that is really is to hurt everybody, because they have a trade war, it ups the prices, and it makes it hard for, you know, whoever's being like, you know, they're going to lose all kinds of jobs and whatever, right? Like that, right? Not saying that I agreed with NAFTA, because I think that was the biggest thing that started the whole intermingling of everything, you know? But Trump actually said this most recent was, he says, didn't Canada burn our White House down? And I thought, why is he saying that? Like, what is he? And he's saying that in Canada, we're terrorists or something. And I'm thinking, why?
Well, I think that's the War of 1812, and you guys were working with the British, and you.
Wasn't it 1812?
Yeah, it was. That's what the Star Spangled.
That's what I thought it was. You know,
yeah.
I mean, my old man, he jokes, but he says, "Well, they needed a new White House, anyways." You know. I mean, like, you know, we weren't alive.
Can you imagine in today's politically charged environment with these idiots running around the media, you would not have been able to call the White House the White House. It's gotten that stupid.
Yes.
You know, we would have had to call it the Rainbow House or the Zion House or something. You wouldn't have been able to call it the White House, because that would have been racist.
I know. Yes. Do you hear the latest? I think it's the Sand Cake guy. He brought it to the Supreme Court. Because he felt that they treated him unfairly in that state. That's Colorado, I think it was.
Colorado, yes. But here's the thing, you know, there are so many lesbian, gay, transgender people out there, and the fact is this was a setup. This was so dishonest. That had principles, and they just went out to hurt people using the courts. It's so dishonest. It's so malicious.
I know, but wait, they said their feelings are hurt.
No, you don't want to wish ill on people, but what these people did to those bakers, you just kind of want to wish ill on people because that's just wrong to do what they're doing, to try to set something up and to go out of your way and harm people like this hound them for years upon years upon. They could have picked anybody. They targeted that baker. And anybody.
I think you're right.
I know they did. Come on, this is so easy to see. They found the one baker that they knew had very strong convictions, and they targeted that person to harm them. And that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line, that is wrong.
I agree. I think
should be, I don't know what can befall those people, but whatever it is should come their way, because that's wrong. You can't harm just because they're Christian and they have beliefs. You go harm them for what? This is
really.
This level of evil disgusts me because people keep looking the other way.
And you know what? What else? This Christian guy, he said, look, I'll sell to anybody. I don't care. I'll sell to anybody. But he says, when it comes to marriage and I do my artwork on here, it's against my morals. I'm not going to do it.
Yes,
so you know what he had to do? He just shut down the cake baking part and still. He lost a lot of business, of course, 60% or something. But now the Christians, after this court thing where the judge ruled that it was unfair to force him, all these Christians came in, and they were even giving him money for court funds, right?
Well, that's good. I mean, Nancy Pelosi, who's, of course, Jewish, she says Masterpiece Cake Shop case is about the most fundamental right of all Americans to be free from persecution and discrimination. Now, how can you be a lesbian moron, go find somebody to target like a Christian baker, knowing they're not going to support you just so you can persecute them? I'm so tired of this Jewish gaslight, doublespeak, lying to our faces. It is so nauseatingly, disgustingly evil. What do you mean, Pelosi? Really, you want to just say, Pelosi, are you a freaking moron? The baker is the one being persecuted here. They could have picked one of hundreds upon hundreds of bakers, and probably none of them would have cared. Maybe one, two, but the vast majority wouldn't have cared. They would have done the business, taken the money, and nobody would have said a thing. But they went out to persecute these bakers, and that's wrong. And I don't need Pelosi telling us, oh, it's fundamental rights. Yeah, it is a fundamental right. And the one violating are those people that were demanding, which is these activist LGBT militants. That's who's the one.
That's right. That they have the freedom of religion. It's just like the Muslims have the right to wear their garb. And the Jews have the right to wear their little yarmulke. And, you know, I mean, come on.
Masterpiece.
You think the Jews would bend over backwards for us?
Listen, Masterpiece, this is Pelosi again. Masterpiece Cake Shop is a commercial bakery open to the public, and such services clearly must be made available to the public on equal terms as determined by an independent review. Well, wait a minute. How many of us keep getting banned left and right from Twitter, from YouTube, from Facebook, from everybody else? Why is it, again, it's this double standard, idiotic stupidity of the Jewish people that just annoys me. Yeah, so what? Twitter's open to the public, too. How are we not, okay, should we be given the same rights? Okay, take your freaking complaint to Twitter then, Pelosi. Take it to YouTube. That's where you're going to make a difference with this mentality, not over a bake cake shop that you're trying to persecute.
Exactly.
So it
is a double standard.
Yes, it should be available to the public terms on equal terms. Public on equal terms. Okay, where is the equal when we can't even say something? When every time I try to go a little bit over left of center or right of center, I find myself in quarantine for 30 days by Facebook. It should be open to us on equal terms. Miss Pelosi, and to the Jewish powers out there, go take your complaint to yourselves.
They're treating us like little children.
Exactly.
You know, they are treating people
like children. And unfortunately, people are happy to be treated like children. They don't say anything.
Well,
and that's got to stop.
A lot of people ain't getting it. they're only seeing one side, because who gets the, like, they've been trying to get rid of Christianity. I mean, they want to kill them all off. They do a mock burning of effigy of Jesus in a boiling vat of shit. So they really like the guy, you know?
Yeah.
You know? But
basically, right? You know, this story, it's just infuriating. You know, basically, it is dishonest to the core. It's mean-spirited. It should never have been even allowed to be taken to court. The people behind it are evil. They, listen, nobody cares. You guys, if the Jewish community and the LGBT community thinks it's all that important, you can go make your own freaking bakes. Go bake your own cake. Go.
Really?
Bakers. Bakeries, and just do it for your own community. Nobody cares. You're free to do
it. Or start opening up gay pride bakeries.
Exactly.
Right?
Say, we're open to gays. We want to serve the gay community. And you got all the business, because nobody cares.
Exactly. Anyway, I just wanted to bring those things up. And happy, happy birthday. Have a great time tomorrow.
Bye.
I'll let you say the last four words or whatever.
I'll let you go. I'm not even sure I have that many left.
Well, you got a couple minutes left anyways, so you can say something about the Jews. Okay. Bye, Patch.
Thank you.
Have a good time tomorrow.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Everybody, again, it's the Fetch Inside the Eye Live. That's Vera from Canada. It's late here, everybody. It's about what? Oh, I don't know what time it is. It's getting close to 3 o'clock, which means it's close for me to hop off the air, everybody. It's been a great time coming here today. Not sure exactly when